Ahoy, me hearties! Decided to take over. No, no offence, but you're not good enough to be a pirate. You see? But I wonder what it would have been like. Just imagine. Take a piece, take an instrument, and actually, you don't need to be bound by notes and tune. Orchestra, why don't you tune to an F? Let's play to an F. In fact, actually, let's not even be restricted. Let's have an H. Let's have an H double flat sharp. And do you know what? Don't worry about those black notes. Be free. Be free and actually make it up. Who tells you whether it's right or wrong? To be honest with you, it feels a bit like how I've been playing a short while ago. But anyway, play with confidence, you're right. Make your own music. Be your own conductor, your own composer. Well, that may sound great, but not to someone like Noel. The last thing he wants is a pirate on in his orchestra. You see, in an orchestra, that spells chaos. Total chaos. Tuning to, well, not to the same instrument. It's the chaos, because actually, rather than everybody tuning to one instrument, it means that actually you do your own thing. You're no longer in harmony. Well, apply that to God. Imagine that he actually wrote the score. And actually he's given us all that we need to play in harmony, to play in tune with one another. Jesus is our conductor. And he will lead us and guide us. But the question is, will we follow him? Or will we be a pirate? Why are pirates pirates? Oh, come on. Everybody knows this joke. Why are pirates pirates? Because they are. Very good. But travel back with me. We've read the Bible passage from the time of Josiah. Read back that section and we'll discover that actually God's people were a bit like pirates. They were a bit like pirates. They'd been chosen to be in an orchestra, as it were, if you want to think of Israel as the orchestra. They weren't very good, to be honest with you. They were just a bit of a motley band. But under the conducting of Jesus, and under the conductment and direction of God, they were going to make beautiful music and be an example to all the other nations around. That was the plan. But when we join this Bible story, and we read in 2 Kings 22, it's all gone wrong. There's mutiny. It's appalling. Open your Bible with me. This is about 609 BC. Look in your Bibles at 2 Kings chapter 22. And you see, we've been reading about Josiah. Hooray, Josiah! But what you don't know is all the boos that have gone before. Look with me at chapter 21. It is horrific. Look at chapter 21. It says this, there's a man called Manasseh. He was 12 when he took over as king. Verse 2, what did he do? He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, he wasn't that bad. He was just a bit of a pirate, a bit of a rogue, lovable kind of Jack Sparrow sort. No, actually, this guy was bad, evil, rebellious. Verse 6 tells us what? He sacrificed his own son in the fire, practiced sorcery, divination, consulted medium spirits. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. It's not good. This is God's ship, by the way. This is Israel. These are the people who are going to stand out and declare to everybody else that actually God is the Lord who you should follow. And they're in a right old mess. In fact, there's so much bloodshed. Verse 16 of chapter 21 tells us, moreover, Manasseh also shed so much innocent blood that he filled Jerusalem from end to end, besides the sin that he had caused. Manasseh was a pirate. It doesn't say that in your Bibles, by the way, but he was. But he only lasted 55 years. Phew. Then came Amon. Hooray! No, don't celebrate too soon. He was 22 years when he became king, and what happened? He reigned for 2 years, and verse 20, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Sounds like a broken record. Conspired in the evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. Verse 23, Amon's officials conspired against him, mutiny, and assassinated the king in his palace, and made Josiah king. Mutiny. This is God's people. This is God's ship, if you want to keep that picture. Then came Josiah. He was 8. My lad, Josiah, he's 9. So if you picture the one in the red tie. 2 Kings 22 tells us, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. Will he be good? Will he be bad? He did what was right. Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the left or to the right. In short, as we've read in the story, Josiah paid some money to go into the temple to restore it. When they were restoring the temple, they found the book of the law. They found the book of the law, and when it was read, Shekiah read it, and they passed it on, eventually got to the king, and then they read it, and he ripped his clothes, his robes, and he just repented. He said, "We've not listened to this score, this composition. This is how God wants us to live and live together in harmony." Chapter 23 tells us that he gathered everybody together and they all listened, and then they make a pledge. They make a pledge to follow this covenant. All the things written in this book. Verse 25 finishes. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. Happy ever after. Well, if you read on, you'll discover Josiah took, he went to one battle too many. He didn't listen to the Lord. He went into battle and he was killed. And then, as you can imagine, the next generation arose up and they once again were pirates. Now, it's hard for me to talk of the Reformation in pirate terms. But there is a sense, and I think it's helpful, to see that actually the church, God's people, were certainly adrift at that time. There wasn't a mutiny necessarily. But at that time, they were certainly drifting. Drifting from its direction, from its course it should be taking. There was a great Catholic monk, his name was Martin Luther, and he wanted oh so to follow God, but he was fearful. He wasn't good enough. I'm not good enough. Actually, I recognize the pirate in my heart. What can I do about it? Well, the answers that were coming up from the church at the time didn't help him at all. He felt like he was going in a penitential cycle. He'd confess to the priest, he would then receive kind of a penance, things that you had to do to get yourself right with God. But by the time he had done those things, he'd thought of more things that actually he should have confessed. At no point did he feel that he was ever good enough. He saw the pirate in his heart. Well, he, Martin Luther, nailed on the doorpost of his church a whole bunch of questions, 95 theses. They were questions, not setting out rebellion, but asking those difficult questions, how can I be right with God? Well, the previous year, a gentleman called Erasmus, he was a Cambridge professor, and he had published a new study Bible, or the equivalent in the day of the study Bible. It had a Greek text, and it was a new Latin translation and comments. And you see, he dedicated it to the Pope, he gave it to the Pope, and the Pope commended him for it and said it was great, thank you very much. But what it did was this. It challenged the direction that the ship was going in with this new translation. Suddenly words that they had presumed were true, and this is what they mean, they realized actually they were going off course. They were in a different part of where they should have been for God. Let me give you two examples, and over the weeks, this next month or so, we're going to talk about the five kind of solas, as Kathy's mentioned. But let me Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it talks about actually do penance. Actually, that was in the Latin Vulgate. The Vulgate was vulgar because they had translated it into the common tongue. And commoners shouldn't be reading the Bible, should they? No, we should read it in Greek and Hebrew, shouldn't we? Yes, no. That's not what the common folk, you and me, actually thought. We wanted it in our own tongue. And at the time, Latin was that common tongue. But it challenged this whole penitential system and said, actually, it is not by penance. It is somewhere else. But where else can we go to get right with God? Secondly, there was another, Luke 1:28, described Mary as full of grace. And this understanding that actually Mary was so holy and so perfect that you just need to pray for her and then she could give some of her extra grace and give it to you. Or the saints, to be honest with you, any of the saints, they were venerated, you could pray to them and they'll give you extra of their grace to get you, to fast track you in to heaven. But the challenge was this, is actually there's another way, or at least there is only one way. And this is what we read. Let me read to you a passage that was read earlier on, but I think it's well worth looking at. John chapter 5. If you've got your own Bibles, I'd highlight this and circle it and learn it. But actually this is Jesus giving you a Bible study. Jesus says this. He says, chapter 5, verse 37, "And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice or seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently, because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me and have life." The truth is this, when you realize that the Bible actually just points to Jesus, it highlights that we're pirates. We're all pirates. But we all need Jesus. Why? Because he is the one, as Josiah was described. He is the one who followed Jesus with God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so Martin Luther started a reformation, got the ship back on course again, following grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone, to the glory of God alone, and scripture alone, sola scriptura. We've gone back to the sources, back to what really was said by God. Well, like Josiah rediscovering the Old Testament law, I wonder what we have done. I wonder what we have thought. Well, your history, I'm sure you know, there was a bloody battle between the church as it was trying to steer in two different directions. But actually, the question I have for you today is this. Actually, who are you most like in our story? Are you actually like the people of God before Josiah? They were pirates. They were going their own way. They had no reference to the law at all. Pirates through and through, whether you could see them on the outside or not. This is no Disney version with Jack Sparrow that looks fun. But actually, we are pirates. But the question is, have you remained a pirate? Are you in rebellion and not listening to God? Are you doing your own thing? playing by your own rules, ignoring God's captain and his instructions. Secondly, maybe you're just a passenger. Maybe you're on the ship and you kind of go, oh, maybe it is a pirate ship that I'm on. Oh, I didn't really mean to be on here and I'm not really that bad. I just happen to be going with everybody else. Well, you're on that ship. You are going in the same direction that everybody else on that ship is going. Guard yourself from drifting where the wind and waves take you. The Israelites, without reference to the law, just drifted. And God said, that is evil, and I need to punish and put that right. Or maybe you're someone who actually has read the Bible, has discovered it points to Jesus, has realized that at heart you're a pirate, but do you know what? I don't want to be on the pirate ship. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be on his ship. I want to be on his team. I want to be playing in harmony, as in an orchestra, to glorify God. My question to you is this. If you are in that position, wanting to hear from God, come back again week after week. Come and join us. We delight in the Lord and we are growing and learning. There is an opportunity in the new year to do a course that talks about how we can truly be happy and follow in Christ's direction and ways. Life Explored. There's postcards just inside the seat in front of you and we'll be raising the profile of it. Find out more. Don't just sit in a ship and drift along. Don't intentionally turn your back on the law and the conductor. For God desires to have you on his ship, in harmony with him, going in the same direction with Jesus Christ as your captain. I'd love to talk to you more, but do come and see me, Steve, or anybody else. Just talk to your neighbour and ask them. But let's finish with a prayer, asking for forgiveness, but knowing that in Christ, who is our captain, he will lead us away from our pirate selves to please him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for Josiah, what an example he was, how countercultural he was, how amazing this young man was to stand up and to love you with all his heart, soul, mind and strength. Help us to do that. But we know that heart of hearts, we are still pirates. We are still rebellious. Help us to look to Christ, who is the true one that we need to put our faith in. Thank you that he came, and thank you that he died for us, and thank you that he is coming back to call us home. Help us this day and every day to live in harmony with you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.